We all know how easy it is to get stuck focusing on the negative. A while back, comedian Louis C.K. was doing a comedy skit on a late night talk show called Everything's Amazing, But Nobody's Happy. In the skit, he told how he once had the privilege of flying on an airplane that was one of the first to offer in-air Wi-Fi. But he said as soon as they got airborne, the Wi-Fi began to falter, and the guy sitting in the seat next to him started to cuss a blue streak. Really? Lewis says. Here's a guy who thinks the world owes him something he didn't even know existed 10 seconds ago. And then Lewis went on to remind us how we tend to talk about our experiences in airports in terms of horror scenes from movies. Oh, it was the worst day of my life. I had to wait 20 minutes before they would let me board my flight. And then they made us sit for 40 minutes on the runway before we took off. Really? Lewis says. And did you get to experience the incredible thrill of flying through the air like a bird? The miracle of human flight. For heaven's sakes, he says, you're riding on a chair in the sky, and all we can do is complain that the seat doesn't go back far enough. He's got a point, doesn't he? It's so easy for us to get stuck focusing on the negative that we forget all of the blessings, miracles even, that are all around us. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Today, as we continue our intensive study of the New Testament book of Colossians, we come to a passage that's just three verses long, but each of these three verses drives home the same basic point. Look again at verse 15, Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called, and be thankful. The next verse, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. There it is again. The critical importance of being thankful and grateful. And just in case we still didn't get it, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Again and again and again, the scriptures keep coming back to this point. By one count, 355 different times, the Bible tells us to be thankful and grateful. Clearly, this is one of the cornerstones of living a spiritual life. So today, let's dig a little deeper and ask, why, how, and what? Why should we be thankful? How can we develop a greater attitude of gratitude? And what should we be grateful and thankful for? Why, how, what? Let's start with a prayer. God, remind us again today of the power and purpose of being thankful, and in the process, help each of us to become much more intentional about harnessing that power, the power of gratitude, so that we can live more fully and more joyfully. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, why should we be thankful? For starters, I think all of us intuitively sense that when someone does something nice for us, it's the right thing to do to express our appreciation. And when you do something nice for someone, you always appreciate being appreciated, and I'm sure God is the same way. But the reason the Bible tells us 355 different times to be thankful is not because God needs it. It's not like God is emotionally needy and just waiting to hear some words of positive reinforcement. It's not like God sitting up there in heaven and saying, thank you for telling me how great I am. I was starting to doubt myself. God does not operate with an emotional deficit. The reason the Bible tells us to be thankful is not because of what God needs. It's because of what we need. Did you know that a multitude of different medical studies have documented that a consistent attitude of gratitude has a dramatic positive impact on our physical health? For example, Professor Robert Emmons sums it up this way. Clinical trials indicate that the practice of gratitude can have dramatic and lasting effects in a person's life. It can lower blood pressure, improve immune function, and facilitate more efficient sleep. A University of California, San Diego Medical School study also adds to this list, documenting that people who are consistently grateful experience, statistically speaking, better heart function. So in addition to gratitude helping to lower our blood pressure, improve our immune function, help us sleep better, it also reduces inflammation, which helps the heart. It helps our heart have a healthier rhythm. And that same study documented people who are consistently grateful, statistically speaking, have a lower intake of fatty foods, less stress hormones, and slower aging of the brain. The way our body is constructed, all of our systems just function more effectively when we are practicing an attitude of gratitude. In addition to that, though, other studies have shown that gratitude has a huge impact also on our mental health. People who have a consistent practice of thanksgiving and gratitude in their life also experience a higher level of emotional well-being and report feeling significantly higher levels of happiness. So it's a trifecta: body, mind, and spirit. All of us function so much better when we're practicing thankfulness. It can change the whole atmosphere in our life. True story from a book by Greg Anderson. Greg's friend, Joe, was sitting in a diner one morning, a rainy morning, having breakfast. Joe had just been through a difficult divorce and was feeling really despondent. He was sitting there listlessly stirring his coffee. There were other people in the diner, but everybody was just looking down at their food as if grimly preparing themselves for what the day ahead would hold. About then, a young mother and her little girl came into the diner, sat down in a booth by the window. When the waitress brought their breakfast to them, the little girl, who'd been looking around, noticing what was going on in the diner, the little girl says to her mom in a voice loud enough for everybody in the diner to hear, "Mommy, why does nobody say their prayers here?" The waitress stopped, turned back around, and said, "Honey, we do say our prayers here. Why don't you lead us in a prayer?" And then the waitress said to the other patrons, "Bow your heads!" Everybody dutifully did. And the little girl began to pray. "God is great, God is good, and we thank Him for our food. By His hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Amen." Joe says, that simple prayer of thanksgiving transformed the atmosphere in that diner. Now, he said, suddenly, people were talking to each other, smiling, even laughing. The waitress said, "We should do this every morning." For his part, Joe says, that simple prayer of gratitude that little girl prayed triggered something inside of me that began my turnaround from my divorce. In his own words, he says, all of a sudden, my whole frame of mind started to improve. From that little girl's example, I realized I needed to start thanking God for all that I did have and stop majoring in all that I didn't have. That was the moment I started to choose happiness again in my life. That's why 355 different times God says, be thankful. Be grateful. Brendan Manning sums it up this way. We're not joyful and then become grateful. We're grateful and that makes us joyful. So, that's why it's so important to cultivate thanksgiving in our life. Now let's move to our second question. How can we grow our gratitude? What are some practical ways we can grow our gratitude? I'm going to give you a quick list of 6 different options for expressing our gratitude, not with the idea that everybody should practice all 6 of these things. There are probably not enough hours in the day to do that. I'm going to share these 6 things as a kind of menu of options so that each of us can reflect on which of these practices are already a part of the habit and fabric of my life? And is there anything on this list that I might want to experiment with to add to my habitual patterns of gratitude in my life? So, option number 1 is in your daily prayer time, always make sure to make time for a segment where you express the things that you're thankful for. And don't get stuck in a rut. Be creative. Think about little things and big things that you are grateful for. So I once heard someone suggest, and I can't remember who it was now, but a great 4-part organizational structure for our daily prayer that goes like this: wow, whoa, want, and what. The wow stands for that time we spend in prayer giving thanks to God for the wonderful things in our life that make us say, wow. The woe is the part of our prayer where we reflect on our failures, our mistakes, and our sins, and ponder how we can do better. The want part is where we share the desires of our heart to God, the things we feel we need and we want. And the what part is when we quiet ourselves and listen in our hearts for what God might want to be saying to us. It's a great structure for prayer. Make sure you don't forget the wow part in your prayers. That's option number 1. Option number 2 is song, singing. There's just something about singing songs of praise and thanksgiving to God that open our spirit in ways that spills over and brings joy and gratitude in our lives. In fact, today's scripture passage itself specifically mentions this: with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. Option number 3 is when you lay your head on your pillow at night, before you drift off to sleep, make a point of listing out in your mind, in your prayerful heart, identify 3 things that happened during the day, large or small, that you are grateful for. Option number 4 is to keep a prayer gratitude journal. A gratitude journal, so that as you're moving through a day, as you're moving through the week, when something happens, large or small, that you find yourself feeling grateful for, you take a moment to write it down or to type it into your phone and mark the date and the time, so that over weeks, which become months, which can become years, you've got a record that you can flip back through that reminds you of just how much abundance you have in your life, how good God is to you. Option number 5 is really interesting, creative. It's an option that was suggested by G.K. Chesterton, a philosopher and author, now deceased. But many of us, when we were kids, we were taught before a meal, take a moment to say grace, to give gratitude for what we are about to receive. Chesterton's idea is, what if we applied that same concept to other things in our lives? He put it this way in his own words, you say grace before meals, all right, that's good. But I say grace before the concert and the opera, and grace before the play and pantomime, and grace before I open a book, and grace before sketching, painting, swimming, fencing, boxing, I don't know about that one, walking, playing, dancing, and grace before I dip the pen in ink. I love that. Think of a couple things that routinely happen in your life during the week that you really get a lot out of besides your meals. And what would happen if before that particular activity you just took a split second to stop and say, dear Lord, for what I'm about to receive, I am truly grateful. God, I'm about to go for my morning walk. Thank you. I'm so grateful. Or God, I'm about to have a conversation with a good friend. I'm so grateful for what I'm about to receive. God, I'm about to play basketball on Thursday night with a bunch of my friends, and I'm so grateful that I'm going to block some shots. Even though I'm short, I can still block some shots, and it feels so good to run up and down the court and to play basketball with my friends for what I'm about to receive. I am truly grateful. Spreading out and applying the concept of grace to other activities in our life. Experiment with it. Give it a try. Option number 6 may be the most important of all. The idea that talk is cheap. We can express verbally to God our thanksgiving, and we should, and cheap is probably too strong a word, but you've heard the expression. But perhaps the best way to express our gratitude to God is by what we do. In the musical My Fair Lady, Eliza is being assiduously courted by Freddie. He writes her a brand new love letter every day. But frankly, Eliza is over it. And instead, in a song, this is what she says. Words, words, I'm so sick of words. Don't talk of stars burning above. If you're in love, show me. Don't talk of love lasting through time. Make no undying vow. If you love me, show me now. Actions speak louder than words. So, when have you recently done something that was for you a way of giving back to God, a way of expressing the gratitude of your heart? God, you have been so good to me. I want to give something really good back to you. I read a great story on the Good News Network the other day about a woman who lives in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Talia Thomas is her name. She works at a store in Minneapolis. She was out for lunch one day, and as she was walking back from lunch, when she returned to the store where she works, her boss, Agnes, was startled to see that Talia had lost her shoes, that Talia was in her stocking feet, and it was a cool day and a damp day. And so Agnes says, Talia, what happened to your shoes? It turns out, as Talia was walking back to work, she walked past a homeless man who had no shoes. He had taken boxes and folded them around his feet and tied them with strings for makeshift shoes. And in that moment, when she saw that, she was moved with compassion. And so she took off her prized retro purple Air Jordans and gave them to this homeless man who was stunned. He said to her, nobody's ever given me shoes like that before. Talia said to him, well, I'm not everybody, and I was always taught you never know what somebody's been through or is going through, and God's been good to me, so I'm going to be good to you. So she gave him her Air Jordans. Agnes, her boss, was so moved by what had happened that before the day was over, before Talia's shift was over, she, her boss, had bought her a new pair of shoes, not as expensive as Air Jordans, but at least something that she could wear. And in the meantime, her boss then began canvassing other co-workers of Talia, collecting donations so that they collectively could buy Talia a brand new pair of purple retro Air Jordans. But as they were doing that, they learned that Talia is her mother, her elderly mother's sole caregiver. And her mother was sleeping in the bed in Talia's apartment, only one bed, and Talia was sleeping on the floor. You see, when Talia gave away her purple Air Jordans, it's not like she was living large, monetarily speaking. That was a real sacrifice for her. Only one bed in her apartment, she was sleeping on the floor. So when her co-workers learned that, instead of buying her another pair of Air Jordans, they gave the money to her so she could buy a second bed. Now, there's a lot that's beautiful about that story. But the most beautiful part is that Talia, out of love and gratitude for God and the goodness of God in her life, gave her Air Jordans to Jesus. Because remember, Jesus said, Matthew 25, whatever you do to the least of these, you've done it unto me. It was as if Talia was saying, Jesus, you have done so much for me. Here, I want to give this to you. So now, up there in heaven somewhere, Jesus, wearing his radiant white robe with his golden sash belt, is sporting a pair of retro purple Air Jordans. Jesus is styling in heaven, figuratively speaking, because Talia Thomas is living with such a heart of gratitude that she wanted to give her shoes to Jesus. When was the last time you consciously, intentionally gave something back to Jesus out of gratitude? It might even be something that you don't want to do, but you know it's the right thing to do. And so you say, Jesus, this is my gift of love and gratitude to you. I don't think there's any more powerful way we can express our gratitude and give thanks to God. So here is the list of six. And my question to you is, which of these are part of the habitual pattern of your life already? Thanks be to God. And is there something on this list that resonates with you and you say, I want to start experimenting with that? Especially think about that last one. I remember back when my spouse David was in college, he had a cat named Emmy. Now, you have to understand that David is the king of cats. I mean, he is the original cat lady man, right? So we got two cats at home. They are spoiled rotten. And I mean rotten, right? So David had this cat, Emmy, in college that he had spoiled that way. And as far as Emmy was concerned, the sun rose and set on David. I didn't know him in college, but after we got married, Emmy was still around. The sun rose and set on David. One day when David was sitting on the couch, he says, Emmy, he was sitting on the couch watching TV. Emmy jumped up in his lap and dropped a toy. He didn't think anything of it. That wasn't unusual. He didn't even bother to look down. But when he did eventually look down, he discovered that Emmy had not dropped a toy in his lap. She had dropped a dead mouse. Now, forget purple Air Jordans. When a cat catches a mouse, that is their most prized possession. I mean, it doesn't get better than that if you're a cat. But Emmy, instinctively in her heart, overflowing with gratitude toward David, she wasn't going to keep and eat that mouse for herself. She wanted to give it to David. So he ate it. No, he didn't. He didn't eat it. He's not that over the top. But let me tell you something. That's a gift of gratitude he'll never forget. When was the last time we gave something to Jesus just to say thank you? Six practices, six ways we can grow our systematic gratitude in our life. But now let's ask the last question. What should we be thankful for? I sat down this week and I just started scribbling out a list, brainstorming all of the things. And my list started with, I am thankful for my life. The gift of life, which we tend to take for granted. There's an old joke that goes like this. How are lawyers like sperm? Now, don't worry, it's a clean joke, okay? I promise. How are lawyers like sperm? Answer, they have a 1 in a billion chance of becoming human. With my apologies to my lawyer friends. It does make a point. The point being that before you were ever conceived, God had a billion different choices. And God chose to create you and give you the gift of life so that long before you were ever born, you already won the lottery. A 1 in 1 billion chance. And if that's all God ever gave us, that's enough to live 80, 90, 100 years saying thank you for the gift of life. So my list started off with gratitude for the gift of life. But then on top of that, there are precious people in our lives and there are beautiful relationships in our life. Our beloved pets. Thank you, God, for the happy moments you give us. Thank you for creation's beauty. Is it just me, or have the cloud formations in the sky this summer been unusually stunning? Thank you, God, for creation's beauty. Thank you, God, for the gift of music and the arts, for sports and exercise. Thank you, God, for our vehicles. When was the last time we didn't take our vehicles for granted? I mean, our ancestors would have killed to be able to travel the space. It would take them days, if not weeks, to travel where we go in a single day. What a miracle. What a gift, God. Thanks to God for our homes, for our jobs, for medicine, medical treatments we can get today that our ancestors never could have imagined. Technology, television. I am grateful for heat and air conditioning, for our bodies, for health. Even if your health is challenged, be thankful for the health you have left, for our nation. Even though our nation is challenged, what a gift that we can live here. Gratitude and thanksgiving for our church family. We have each other. We have this place where we can come and grow our souls. Thanksgiving for Jesus and salvation, for God's presence and friendship in our life. And on it goes. If you grew up in church, you probably learned this hymn. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. But do you remember what the first verse of that song says? When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost. In other words, when you're stuck in that negative frame of mind, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. But don't stop there. Because look at what the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All circumstances doesn't just include the happy things that happen, but also the bad things that happen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Give thanks to God the Father at all times and for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means even the bad things that happen to us are included. So that means when something terrible, some terrible situation is happening in my life, when my neighbor puts rocks in their flower garden, or when you're in college and the person that lives in the dorm room next to you starts playing endless loops loudly of Barry Manilow music, when you find yourself in the midst of a terrible situation in life, even then, be thankful. Or I should say, especially then, stop and give thanks. From the worst mistakes I've made in my life, I have learned some of life's most important lessons. Thank you, God, for what you're teaching me, even through my mistakes, and feel the lift in your soul. Even when a loved one dies, we can be thankful in the midst of that. Not thankful that the loved one died, but we can and should still give thanks. God, thank you for the gift of that loved one in my life. Thank you for all the beautiful moments and memories that can never be taken away from me. Thank you that that loved one is now in heaven with you. And thank you that someday we will be back together again, so that even when we lose someone precious to us, there is so much still to be thankful for. And feel the lift in your soul as you focus on that instead of what you don't have. Even when you find yourself in a situation so terrible that you cannot imagine how anything good can come out of it. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying God makes these bad things happen in our life so God can bring good out of them. Bad things happen sometimes because I do it to myself, sometimes because others do it to me, sometimes because circumstances do it to me. But whatever the cause of the bad thing, God has a way of drawing something good out of even the worst situation. And so when you find yourself in a really bad situation, defiantly, by faith, even when you can't see what it could possibly be, say, God, I thank you for the good that you're going to somehow draw out of this situation, and then start watching for it and feel the lift in your soul. Give thanks in all circumstances, in every situation. Back in 2005, Steve Jobs gave the commencement address at Stanford University. Here's an excerpt of what Jobs said to the graduates that day. He said, I was lucky. I found what I loved to do early in life. Steve Wozniak and I started Apple in my parents' garage when I was 20 years old. We worked hard, and in 10 years, Apple had grown from just two of us in a garage to a $2 billion company with over 4,000 employees. We had just released our finest creation, the Mac, a year earlier, and I had just turned 30. And then I got fired. How can you get fired from a company you started, you ask? Well, as Apple grew, we hired someone who I thought was very talented to run the company with me. And for the first year or so, things went well. But then our visions of the future began to diverge, and eventually we had a falling out. And when we did, our board of directors sided with him. So at 30, I was out, and very publicly out. What had been the focus of my entire adult life was suddenly gone, and it was devastating. I didn't see it then, but it turned out that getting fired from Apple was the best thing that could have ever happened to me. The heaviness of being successful was replaced by the lightness of being a beginner, of being less sure about everything. It freed me to enter one of the most creative periods of my life. So during the next 5 years, I started a company named Next, another company named Pixar, and fell in love with an amazing woman who would become my wife. Pixar went on to create the world's first computer animated feature film, Toy Story, and is now, as of 2005 when he was saying this, the most successful animation studio in the world. And in a remarkable turn of events, Apple ended up buying Next. I returned to Apple, and the technology we developed at Next is now, as of 2005, at the heart of Apple's current renaissance. And Laureen, my wife, and I now have a wonderful family together. And then Jobs summed it up this way: I'm pretty sure none of this would have happened if I hadn't been fired from Apple. It was awful tasting medicine, but I guess the patient needed it. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything giving thanks to God the Father. The story that I'm about to tell you, I've told you too many times before. I shouldn't tell it again, but I'm going to tell it again because it makes such an important point that's so apropos to what we're talking about today. When Nancy Ortberg first began her career as a nurse, her first patient was a 14-year-old girl who'd been injured in a dirt bike accident. Before Nancy went down to the physical therapy room to meet this new patient, she pulled the girl's charts and was stunned to see that the injury had been so severe, doctors had had to amputate the girl's right leg just below the knee. As Nancy was walking down to the physical therapy room, she was thinking to herself, what on earth do you say to a teenager who has just lost a leg? She walked into the physical therapy room and saw the young girl sitting in the whirlpool bath, walked over to where she was, introduced herself, and began to make small talk. As they talked, it became clear to Nancy that this young woman was a woman of faith, a follower of Jesus, and that had helped anchor her in what she had experienced. When they started talking about her injury, Nancy said to the young woman how sorry she was that she, this young woman, had to experience such a tragedy in her life. But she said, the young woman, with genuine excitement, thrust her amputated leg up above the bubbling water into the air and said to me, look how much I have left. Because you see, the doctors had told her that it was fortunate that they were able to amputate below the knee instead of above, because that meant she could be more easily fitted for a prosthesis and would be easier for her to then learn how to walk again. And the only thing this young girl wanted to know from Nancy was, how soon do you think my wound will heal up so I can be fitted for a prosthesis and learn how to walk again? Now, this young woman wasn't living in denial. She understood the tragedy of what it experienced to her. She was grieving that tragedy, but she was determined she was not going to get stuck focusing on what she had lost. Instead, she was going to intentionally focus on how much she had left. How about us? Have you experienced great loss in your life? Grieve that loss, but don't get stuck there. Choose to focus on how much you've got left. In the movie Joe versus the Volcano, there comes a point where Joe is floating in the middle of the Pacific on a makeshift life raft after a shipwreck. He's been there floating around, lost for quite some time. He's dehydrated, he's starving, he's beginning to become delirious. He realizes he probably doesn't have long left. He lays down on the raft to go to sleep, knowing that he might not wake up again. But a few hours later, after nightfall, he awakens to a stunning sight. He looks out across the water onto the horizon, and he sees that the moon is rising over the South Pacific, and the humidity from the ocean is distorting the image of the moon so that the moon is enormous in its appearance, a glowing red orb rising from the water. Joe had not been a spiritual person in his life, but instinctively he stands up on his wobbly legs and he lifts his hands to the sky, and this is the prayer he prayed. Dear God, whose name I do not know, thank you. I had forgotten how big. Thank you. Thank you for my life. When my time comes to breathe my last, I hope those are the last words on my lips. Thank you. Thank you for my life. Each of us gets to choose what we're going to focus on. Choose to live from a place of profound gratitude. Give thanks to God in everything, and feel the lift in your soul. There is no better medicine for your body, mind, and soul. Be thankful.